thought he was going to smash his guitar at the end of that. Anybody else? Just kind of waiting for that. Anybody feel oddly compelled to go buy a motorcycle after you leave here this morning? Well, good morning to all of you, and welcome to Cornerstone. My name's Stephen Lohoffer. So glad that you are with us today. We are in the middle of a series called Red Letters, where we're looking at the words of Jesus. And over the last several weeks, we've been looking at the stories and the teachings and the parables that he shared with us. But today, we're going to look at an encounter Jesus has with his disciples, and one where he actually doesn't share that many words or many letters, but the weight of what he does share, I think, is more than sufficient for the few words that he gives us. When I was in high school several years ago, many years ago, some buddies of and I, we decided to go to a lake for a weekend. Somebody had a house, and so we went. And over the course of the weekend, as high school boys would do, we decided to make increasingly poorer and poorer decisions, escalating what we would do with our free time. And we got to the point where we decided that we would try to swim across the lake. And this particular section of the lake that we wanted to swim across was maybe 500, 600, 700 yards across, close enough that you could see to the other side so that you were like, yeah, I can. If I can see it, I can obviously get there. But far enough for any of you who have ever swam any amount of distance to know that we got into a situation that was a lot more challenging than we thought it was going to be. Now, my friends, for whatever reason, they were really good swimmers. I'm not a really good swimmer. Actually, I struggle. I can, you know, I'm not like a risk if you invite me over to your pool, but like, it's the arm over arm and then the under the armpit. Like, I can't figure that out. I don't know why, but I put my face in the water and I think I'm going down. And so I was trying to swim across the lake, but like do it with your head above water the whole time, which if you've ever done that, that's hard. It doesn't work really well. And so as I was swimming across the lake, I was getting more and more tired and thinking, what a terrible decision that I had made. And then I kind of got to the point where I'm like in the middle of the lake. My buddies are like way down there, and I'm starting to second guess the choice that I had made and starting to second guess like my ability in this moment. Kind of went something like this, like, Stephen, why would you do this? This is like the worst decision that you could possibly make. You were in the middle of this lake by yourself. Do you see how big it is and how small you are and how terrible of a swimmer? Why would you do this? Why would you make this choice and put yourself in this situation that's way beyond your ability? I don't know if you've ever had a situation where you have had that tape play in your life, but as those voices played, it started to kind of spiral down and get darker and dimmer and less hopeful. And, you know, I really got to the place kind of treading water, kind of bobbing along. I was like, is this it? Like, is this how I go? Am I the kid that tried to swim across the lake and didn't make it? Like, I started to get scared. Like, I started to really kind of panic because I had, like, used up all of my energy to get halfway. And I was only halfway. And I was like, I am all alone in this. And I have nobody else to blame but me. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you begin to blame yourself, where you realize that you were in something and you were all alone and you probably weren't going to make it out of it? The disciples found themselves in a very similar place. The story that we're going to look at today happens right after Jesus has fed the 5,000. This large gathering and following of people were with Jesus. He feeds them, and then he sends them home. And then Jesus tells the disciples, he says, listen, I want you to get in the boat and start off across the sea. So Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the sea, and then he dismissed the crowds. And when he sent them away, Jesus went up on top of a hill that surrounded the Sea of Galilee and was praying by himself. And then evening came, and he was all alone. The Sea of Galilee looks like this. It's kind of surrounded by kind of mountains, hills, depending on where you're from, what you call them. But it's a big body of water, but as you can tell, it's big enough that you can see across it. And so the disciples are setting out trying to row across this huge sea, and Jesus is up at the top watching them. And then something happens. A storm blows in. The boat was fighting a strong headwind, was being battered by the waves, and it was already far from land. You see, because of where the Sea of Galilee is located, these cool eastern breezes blow through, and it collides with the warm air that's rising up from the Sea of Galilee. I don't know how it works, but that's what I read, so probably true. But what would happen is it would cause these like storms to like pop up out of nowhere. Like these violent, turbulent things would blow in, and all of a sudden you could have had this beautiful, calm, peaceful day. And then a storm shows up. Life is great, and then you get that phone call on a random Tuesday that you never thought you'd get. Or you have the best relationship that you know of, and then you hear those words, "I want a divorce," out of seemingly nowhere. Or the doctor calls, and it wasn't what they led you to believe it was. It was worse. And now you're in the middle of this sea by yourself, and this storm is raging. So the disciples are trying to fight the waves and the wind. They're rowing harder and harder, but it's just crashing against the boat, this onslaught of wind and rain and water. And then early in the morning, maybe 2 or 3 a.m., Jesus comes out to the disciples walking on the sea. Maybe you look something like this. The boys in the boat being beaten by the waves and the wind, and all of a sudden this figure starts to walk out to them. Now, as you can imagine, if you're in the middle of the sea and you see somebody walking to you, that's not normal. And so the disciples, already scared by the situation that they find themselves in, they cry out and they say it's a ghost. And they're so scared that they scream. Now, the reason they thought it was a ghost was because in that day, these were people who were from this arid desert climate. They weren't familiar with large bodies of water. These bodies of water were violent and unpredictable, and they didn't know what lived beneath the surfaces. And so there are all these stories and myths that they would tell about these large bodies of water that they couldn't understand and they couldn't control, and they couldn't anticipate what would happen when they were out there on them. They thought monsters lived down there. Demons, ghosts. They called it the abyss. This gap, this void between what they understood and what they could predict, and the unknown and the terrifying and the mysterious. And so there the disciples are in the middle of this abyss, terrified, confused, and then something is walking towards them. And so they screamed. But then Jesus speaks to them in the middle of this situation. In the middle of all the chaos and uncertainty and danger, Jesus says these words to the disciples. "Take heart. It's me. Don't be afraid." I think it's easy in the midst of the storms that rage in our lives, whether you created them or they sprung up surprisingly, it's easy to think that you're all alone. But you're the only one out in the middle of the sea, treading water, trying to keep your head above the waves, struggling, tiring, trying to figure out what you're going to do and how you're going to get yourself out of the situation. It's what the disciples were doing. We got to row harder, dig deeper, try more and more. And then in the midst of all of that, Jesus says, "Take heart. It's me. You don't have to be afraid. You're not by yourself." And so then Peter responds to this, and he says, "Lord, if it's you, I'm not sure if you really are who you say you are, if you really are God, if you're really in control of all of this, if it's you, order me to come to you on the water." And so then Jesus, in response to Peter's uncertainty, Peter's question, but Peter's hope. Jesus says, come. And so then Peter gets ready to get out of the boat. And I would imagine in this moment for Peter, you're witnessing something that's not supposed to happen. A man is walking on the water to you in the midst of all of this storm and waves and wind and rain. When everything is going sideways, there is hope in the middle of this. And so Peter has to prepare himself to get out of the boat. I don't know if any of you have ever skydived before. I did once. If you haven't, once is enough. But for me, the scariest part of the whole experience is not the falling. It's not the plummeting to earth at a high rate of speed. Surprisingly, that's not the scary part. The scary part is when you're up in the plane and you hit jumping altitude and they fling open the bay doors of the plane, and then you have to like scoot your butt to the edge of the plane and then swing your legs off and they're like dangling. And you look down and you can like see the ground about 12,000 feet below you. And then you have to lean forward. You have to initiate the fall. I can imagine for Peter in that moment, his feet are dangling off the edge of the boat. And Jesus says, come. And so Peter leans forward and then he drops. And he realizes that in the midst of this storm, in the midst of the waves and the wind, he's walking on water. He's doing the impossible despite what the circumstances would suggest that he could do. Despite the prognosis, despite the dire circumstances, despite the debt collectors continuing to call, there was life in the middle of this storm for Peter. And so then Peter does what Jesus invites him to do, and he comes to Jesus, and as he's walking to Jesus, he gets sidetracked and starts to pay attention to the waves and the wind and the circumstances and the situation that's swirling and blowing and raging all of around him. He reminds himself just how crazy this is, just how hopeless this is, and he starts to sink. And then he shouts, Lord, save me! And immediately, Jesus reaches down and he grabs him. And then he looks at him and he says, you of weak faith, why did you begin to have doubts? The Greek suggests it might translate another way, when did you stop trusting? Just because you saw the waves and the wind? Just because you got that bill in the mail? Just because she wants out? Why did you stop trusting? Why did you have doubts? And then Jesus and Peter, they get back into the boat, and the wind settles down. And those who never left the boat at all, they're like, you must be God's son. It's easy for us to hear this story and wag our finger at Peter. It's easy to hear the story and think, God, Peter really messed this one up. But I don't know that that's what this story is about. I think this story is a reminder that in the midst of the storms of our lives, in the midst of life going sideways, whether you caused it or it was caused upon you, Jesus stands there in the midst of it all and says, take heart. It's me. You don't have to be afraid. And then to make sure that we know that he's God, to prove his power in the midst of all that surrounds us, he extends to us an opportunity to come to him, to begin to have hope, to begin to find life, to do the impossible despite the circumstances. You see, the disciples, they never left the boat. They didn't call out to Jesus. And then in the end, they have some understanding of who God is. But Peter knew Peter knew Jesus was God. He walked on the water. And as he began to sink, Jesus grabbed him and rescued him. It's easy for us when life goes sideways to stay in the boat, to think it's up to us, that we can spend or drink or abuse or worry or fret or plan our way out of it. If we just row a little bit harder, we'll get through this storm. And all the while, we miss an invitation to the impossible. This opportunity to find life in the midst of death, hope in the midst of despair, light in the midst of darkness. My guess is you have somebody in your life or you know someone who has gone through something unbelievable, something tragic, horrific, some catastrophe where life just knocked them off course. And for any normal person, it would have kept them down. But somehow, they emerged stronger. They emerged happier. They emerged more patient, more considerate, more compassionate. How? How does this happen? How can there be life in the midst of all of the storm? And it's through Jesus' invitation to come to him. And so I don't know what your storm is today. Maybe you have smooth waters. And if so, just know that a storm will come. It's not a threat. It's just the reality of life. Christianity does not prevent storms, but it helps us navigate through them and find life in them. And so whatever your storm, I hope that you call out to Jesus. And you begin to experience his invitation to get out of the boat and to come to him. When I was in high school, my friends and I tried to swim across the lake. I got about halfway and started to really worry whether or not I was going to make it the rest of the way. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my buddy swam up. I thought they were way, way down there. And he looked at me and he said, "You having fun yet?" I said, "Nope." And he said, "Here's what we'll do. Turn over on your back and we'll just kind of slowly paddle and float our way over to the other side." And we made it. Probably wasn't a surprise. No real cliffhanger in that story. I mean, kind of, here we are. But I think that's the invitation to us today, is to know that no matter your storm, you're not alone. Jesus is there with us, inviting us to experience new life in him. And so that's my prayer, that we'll call out to Jesus. We'll get down on our knees and say, "God, I can't do this by myself. God, I'm giving this to you. I'm tired of trying to be the one who fixes this. God, I need you to take over. Lord, save me. If it's you, call me out of the boat because I need your help." And when you do, you'll hear him say to you, "Take heart. It's me. You don't have to be afraid. Come on out." Let's pray. Gracious God, in these moments, we were reminded of your incredible love for us. This love that never lets us go. It never lets us down. God, help us to have the courage to call out to you and to get out of the boat and to find life in you, even in the midst of our storms. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.